Good evening to our audience on American Muslim 360 on Blog Talk Radio, and welcome to Talk Unchained. I'm your host, Marlon Aldridge. Today, I open up the lines to hear what is on your mind as we discuss all things political. The call-in number is 515-605-9891. Again, that's 515-605-9891. If you have questions, press 1 to get in the queue. Please, no speakerphones or listening to the show on another medium, as this may present feedback in the podcast. Of course, all AM36 podcasts are archived for your future retrieval. Now, of course, we know on this show we talk about politics, we talk about education, we talk about international affairs. We pretty much talk about everything. And, of course, we give our audience a chance to participate, of course, on AM360. Your intellect is respected and your voice is protected, is the mantra. So let's get you started. Is the United States falling apart? And if so, why? I'd like to know your thoughts. Or are we headed in the right direction? And I think this is a good question, because the United States is viewed as an empire. We don't say that term a lot, but in the back of our minds, we're thinking that the United States is an empire. And of course, if we know history, we know that all empires have their day. And then there comes a time where decline comes in. Are we at a point of decline in our history? What are your thoughts? Is the United States falling apart? And if so, why? Give us an explanation as to why you think the United States is headed in the wrong direction. Of course, I'm going to provide some of my thoughts, but this show is all about you. Are we headed in the right direction? What are some of the other things we want to know? We want you to tell us something interesting about the political climate in your city. What is actually happening in your city? Some of the things that we're thinking about. And will Trump be impeached? I really want to know that. I've been saying that for the longest, and as a matter of fact, I've been hoping that will come to pass. Of course, if we've been following what is going on with the collusion and the obstruction, we know that Robert Mueller is ramping things up. He's charged both Paul Manafort and his deputy, Rick Gates, with a stream of charges, including money laundering, bank fraud, conspiracy, tax fraud. And the charges seem like they keep coming. Paul Manafort, 69 years old, he's facing as much as 40 years in prison. White-collar criminal, seems to be a long-time white-collar criminal. Will he turn on his former boss? And, of course, I've always wondered, being a science person and knowing a little bit about how things work, how in the world can you have so many people in such a short period of time be associated with the highest office in the land? How can so many people be within one administration? What's the likelihood of that? I'm thinking from a statistical standpoint, we've seen many people resign. Even his communications director, Hope Hicks, resigned after she was called before the House Intelligence Committee. 29-year-old former model spoke 8 hours before the House Intelligence Committee, and as of today, she has resigned from her current post. But you got to give it to her. She outlasted many others. Paul Manafort, we've already mentioned, Rick Gates, we're looking at Michael Flynn, and a whole host of other gentlemen that took the exit. Couldn't stand the heat and had to get out of the kitchen. So today we're talking all things political. What's on your mind, and also what's happening in your city? That's what I really want to know. We want to get a picture of what's happening around the country. This is a good time to talk about it. I want to know your thoughts on, are we headed in the right path? Of course, we know that. We also want to know, what are our elected officials doing? What is the importance of having black elected officials, and are they producing? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Of course, we're all familiar with what has happened in Florida with the school shooting there. Is it time to limit access to guns? I think I have an idea of where you probably stand on that, but we don't want to take anything to chance. Is it time to limit access to guns? Who stands to win? Who stands to lose in midterm elections? You want to know that as well. Of course, the media has been hinting that the Democrats seem to have some advantages, even in places that were not likely for Democrats to win in elections. And ladies, what is the time frame for the first female president? What is the time frame for the first female president? I'm also interested to know, what are the aspirations for women going forward? And then, of course, what are the prospects for black families going forward as well? What about black males? These are some of the questions we're looking for answers for today here on Talk Unchained. Here's one of the things I'm interested in. I'm a proud American. I love this country. This is the only country that I know. Now, of course, being an academic person, I have constructive criticism, and I try my best to give a fair and balanced view. That is by training, and it's also by ethics. It is the ethical thing to do, is to look at both sides and then weigh the evidence and make your evaluation and your analyses based on that. So, we have some trying times. Of course, I'm on it, at least from this standpoint, I do have a prejudice with the current man in the top spot. I don't think he should have been there. I think he's there to enrich himself and his family. And all of the indicators are there. This man, according to law, is violating the Emoluments Clause. He is enriching himself. Even to this day, he is enriching himself. He is allowing his family to enrich themselves as well. And, of course, the media is talking about it. The talking heads are talking about it. But we live in a highly polarized environment. The middle has been thinned out. The moderates have been thinned out, and that allows people like Bernie Sanders on the close to the far left of the political spectrum and economic spectrum, and then on the far right, the right wing, we have, at least at that end, from my perspective, I see near fascist. And if you understand fascism, you know that these are dictators. And we see Trump, or at least I see Trump, as a dictator. And having served in the United States military, I think I know a little bit about leadership. And I know one of the things that I learned there under some very great leaders is that you always praise your subordinates in public. And if there's any criticism, you do that in private. Now, here we have a commander-in-chief that handpicks his people. I'm thinking right now of Jeff Sessions, Jeff Beauregard Sessions, the senator from Alabama, who is the current attorney general, who's turning back many of the executive orders that President Obama put into place. And so we are in a retrograde climate as far as Jeff Sessions is concerned, but he's constantly being criticized in public by the very man who appointed him. And Jeff Sessions was there at the beginning supporting this president. Let's go to the phone lines. We got a caller from 636. Caller from 636. State your name if you like, and where are you calling about? Where are you calling from?
Yes, Kareem Hamid, calling from St. Louis, Missouri. It's good hearing you this evening, Professor Marlon Aldridge. And I extend the greetings of peace to you and to the American Muslim 360. In answer to the question, is the country headed in the right direction? I must say an emphatic yes, in that the checks and balances placed within the system have began to work. The checks and balances have began to work as they were designed to work. You can go so far in idiocy that the framework put in place will check you. And we see that the special prosecutor, that designation there is a check on the loose, very in-your-face flaunting of the Constitution, a disrespect of the equality of all Americans, profiting off of your position in the White House. And here's the number one crime: colluding with a foreign government. Colluding with a foreign government to undermine the democratic principles of this country. He's being checked if we have our eye on what is happening. So, so I would say yes, we are headed in the right direction. We are riding this ship. You cannot, the real American people will not stand for too much longer this foolishness that have took place.
Well, Brother Kareem, let me put you on the spot. Now, what about the Republicans are basically putting the Justice Department on the scrutiny? Talk to me about that.
Guess what? Guess what? Jeff Sessions stood up today, didn't he? He stood up and told Trump, as long as I'm in this office, I'm going to uphold the Constitution of these United States. In other words, I'm not your lawyer, Trump. I'm not your personal lawyer. I am the Attorney General of the United States. He finally got the, and what gave him the courage is they are hearing the voice of we the people. That's what is putting this reckless form of governing in check. They're hearing the voice of the people. Those young students in Florida, they are weakening one of the most powerful lobbies in this country, the NRA. Corporate America, Dick's Hunting and Sporting franchise. They came out and they said, we are no longer selling no form of assault weapons. A lot of corporations are no longer giving discounts because you have a membership to the NRA. Now, they have their motive, and it's profit, I know that. But they, yeah, oh yeah, now, it's not out of because they're good heart, but they are responding to the first words, we the people. See? So, yes, I can say we are moving in the right direction. Yes, sir. Because we have stood up. And now, as far as local politics, we have a governor here in Missouri. He touts himself, I'm an ex-Navy SEAL. I drive trucks, my guns, my hound dogs. You know, all of those whistles, all of those dog whistles. You know, he's espousing those things to let everyone know he's part of the old boys club. Well, guess what? He's under indictment right now. They're getting ready to get rid of him. He's under
indictment. And those are normally the ones who fall under indictment.
That's right.
The gun toters. Those are normally the ones who get indicted. They're the ones with all the bravado.
Yes,
so you're
and
right.
This is what we are seeing happening at the federal level, too, see? The noose is tightening. I remember before Barack left office, he spoke to the American people. He said, look, this is only a comma. This is not a period. And remember, we the people. We the people. And we are seeing we the people using their collective strengths. Women, I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of them. We have seen large giants fall. We have seen giants fall because of their disrespect and forcing women to lie down with them. So this is what we must take note of. We the people. We the
yes,
people.
Sir.
And I firmly believe that, yes, now, will we always have problems? I would pretty much guess so, but not to the extent. We almost lost our democracy from foreign entanglements, the undermining of democratic governments across the Western Hemisphere, France, Great Britain, you name it. And we see what is so glue-like with Trump and Putin that's getting ready to be unmasked. So the checks and balances are working. They are operating as they were designed to work. But the greatest check is we the people.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would agree with you. Brother Kareem from St. Louis, Missouri. Appreciate your comments there. Let's take a caller from 727. Caller from 727. State your name, if you like, and where are you calling from? Caller from 727.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And greetings to you, Professor Marlon Hollow. It's Martha Nyla here from St. Petersburg, Florida. And
howdy.
Wow. I tell you, you gave a bunch to eat on tonight, a varieties. And I'm just going to combine it all together and say, really, I see it as an eclipse. And I love what Imam Kareem just said. I ditto on that. We the people, definitely, an eclipse. And I'm saying that because in an eclipse, there is, and I'm thinking of the one where the sun gets phased out for a moment. And I'm seeing it as the intelligence of the people that have been dumbfounded, you know, outwitted or whatever we call it, and this process took place, and here we have it. It had to happen, though. I've really thought all along it had to happen because we had to see the mess that was stirring. And like I'm going to liken it to Rome in a sense, but only thing I say an eclipse because the sun comes back out. And in Rome, you know, it says they never rose again after the fall. And it was also, it was with the same process, internal struggles, you know, dissension and all of that was going on, the politics, the finances, the you know, the economy for the country, and the surrounding effect of those who were ignorant about how to even establish self. All they knew is they were without, and they fought against that. But here we have some of that going on. Those who don't know what's happening, but they voted someone in simply because of their emotional ties or their whims. And so here now we're facing the strategy of what once thought was a strategy. You know, you say that President Trump is outlining, you know, laying out the ones who voted him in, pretty much was right behind him, going to Sessions and all the others, and start going back to the one who was with the newspaper. What was the name of the news? I can't call it right now. The promoter that really was there as his staunch supporter, the one that he ousted some months ago. Gosh, I can't call his name. But anyway, doesn't matter. The point is, I'm saying it's an eclipse. And now those who based have to continue to take a stand. I'm going to say continue because I believe they have been, you know, prayerfully working, doing what is necessary to stay established in the belief that the rise will happen again for those who truly believe. And I'm going to the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that once your heart changes, conditions do change. So I believe those faithful, us, you know, all of us included, who've been faithful ones, praying for change, but being ready to be in the leadership process and know the organizational structure of this country and what it stands for, the vision of what is truly meant by those who call it America. I'll stop right there. Thank you so much.
Sister Martha, before you leave off, tell us, I think you were referring to Steve Bannon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So I'd like to get your opinion on what are your aspirations for women going forward?
My aspirations for women is to be, look at the role of being mother. You know, and I say that, Professor, because I've taken on a personal route of getting out and into the community and really viewing people and what's touching their heart, what are they thinking, that's from regardless of what age group, and speaking, really speaking sincerely to people and looking into their eyes. And I see that motherly process has to occur, and that's what women have to look at. They really have to look at reconditioning their own thinking, because I'm included. We have to recondition our own thinking about what our role is and not be so much on the competitive strategy leave that word alone, be on the competitive process with men. We are in the same boat, but we have our role. Ooh. And if we stress the role of what mother is, I'm not speaking about just having a baby, you know, by Almighty God's will. I'm speaking of really being caring, like the mother, what's her name? Mother, is from England. I can't think of her name, but anyway, and she went down in history, and I can't think of her name. But anyway, the idea, that's what
mother
brings
Teresa?
The community, Mother Teresa, that's what brings family life back. That's what brings the strength back when we honor the womb that have bored you. And that means the motherliness in our culture, the motherliness in economy, in the idea of economy, the motherliness in all those areas, governing and everything, we have to look at. So that takes us back to we the people. That's the mother that will that has given birth to us, and that's how women have to have a relationship with that role and be leaders in it, but don't be fooled by being competitious against men just because they're men.
Woo! You said some powerful things there, and I'm hoping that we can get someone else in this aspect of the show, because I'm seeing the same thing that you're seeing. I'm seeing that it seems to be roles are no longer important anymore. And I've heard it said that, at least from a standpoint, you can't follow two masters, can you? I've heard that said before. And I'm seeing women whom appear to want to take on the role that the man has traditionally taken on. So that has implications for families. We want to hear what others have to say, too. Sister Martha, we thank you for those comments. You've hit
thank
on
you.
Something that I've been talking about and thinking about for a while. It seems like the concept of roles is no longer important. So we'd like to get some others involved in the conversation on that. Thank you, Sister Martha. Caller from 914. Caller from 914. State your name, if you like, and where are you calling from? Caller from 914. State your name, if you like, and where are you calling from? Okay, looks like that caller's on mute. Let's go to another caller. Caller from 510. Caller from 510. State your name, if you like, and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Sister Mahasin Abdul Salam.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, a very vigorous topic tonight. And the questions that you brought up, really appreciate your setting up the topic tonight and what our concerns are and asking for feedback. Really appreciate it, Imam Kareem Hameen's comments and also the perspective that he offered. I just wanted to, pretty much Sister Martha said it all in terms of, you know, really covering the basis. So I just want to reinforce some of what she said in Surah 4, Ayat 1, where...
okay, it seems like is your mouth near your mouthpiece, or are you away from your phone? Or,
you know,
so I can barely...
Speakerphone on. Let me change it.
Okay.
Is this any better?
That's a little better. That's a little better.
Okay. I'll try to improve it. This week I'm going to try to get another phone. See if I can improve this quality. But the one thing I did want to support her in what she was enjoining and encouraging is the fact that Allah made the decision in the role of woman to entrust her as a female with the ties of relationship. And I'd like to utilize one of Imam Muhammad's words and phrases for that, which he spoke of repeatedly in the previous broadcast, where leadership after death was the name of that besides the community life, the vital importance of community life. And no one has been guarding the home. The woman, as we say, by hook or crook, had been drawn out of the home, away from that protective proximity to children, to her family, et cetera, and really commodified or made into a commodity herself for the sake of the industry, for the sake of the corporate. So we've left the very sacred space of the home abandoned and
unguarded in that sense. And with the role, the citra-based role of women is to be right on point with that. She is given even a physical form that demands that she remain in close proximity with her family, close proximity with her home. She is the one who is in charge of that domain. All right. And so once we see she's been drawn away from that, many other elements of society have gone awry. And there are some standard type of virtues that have gone unguarded and unnurtured in the society, and we can see, don't have to repeat it, what the outcome has been there, literally chaos.
Let me ask you something. I make the observation, well, first of all, in today's society, I think women have to work because of the way the economic system is set up here. Women have to work. But I've noticed, I make the general observation that it seems that women do not have the energy to work and then come home and still be able to do what they need to do in the home, like cook a home-cooked meal for their children, to clean their home. They seem to be eating out. Is that an observation that you would make, or is that something that maybe is just evident where I'm at, or because of my perspective?
Brother Marlon, it's a little bit different society now. The general society has transformed itself, or been transformed. Of course, after the time of the war, when women were needed hands-on in the effort to build defense instruments and everything, she enjoyed perhaps the first level of equality in terms of putting in a day's work. It didn't mean that she had to leave the home, domicile, the domain of the home, but she's very creative in the way that she did that. But nowadays, fast forward to this, you know, technological era, and women don't necessarily have to go out of the home to work. Right along with that, parallel to that change, was the fact that when the woman was making more in her first efforts in the work or corporate design, she was also spending more. And after the war, the kind of freedom she enjoyed, she didn't want to return to the June Cleaver element of it, the little starched dress and the apron tied around her, and she literally was the maid, you know. Now I'm not trying to denigrate the idea of keeping the home clean and neat and orderly and et cetera, all those beautiful family support type of things that the woman has a nature to do. But she also has the intellect and the other capacities. Allah says that He made her equal to the male in every respect except her form. That's the only form, that's the only differentiating factor for the woman. So it's no longer a discussion about, you know, whether she's tired coming home or she doesn't have the energy. We now have very inventive ways to generate income or to elevate the financial condition or standard by her cooperation in the plan or the vision of where the family is going. And she does quite well. She's quite inventive about that. So it's
okay.
Maybe
it's just where I'm standing at.
Suffering.
And I'm looking out. One of the things, I guess, also by training is that I love to observe. Mm-hmm. And this is just a general observation. Now, of course, I don't want to infer that all women are like that, because I know that they're not. But I'm even seeing older women who who've had children, their children are grown, and they no longer cook. They eat out every day. And they have many of them have poor health because of it. I don't understand, if you've gone through at least a major portion of your adult life cooking, now all of a sudden you lose the appetite to cook and you want to eat out every day. That's unhealthy to me.
Well, I don't have that same vision, that outlook, but it may have to do with the circles we operate in. You're a professor, so you're in an academic and professional arena, and I like to think that the people who work in that arena enjoy elevated incomes. It takes money to eat out every day, and if you're seeing that, then you're observing a certain segment. The other thing, I hope people are not eating out every day at fast food restaurants. They may be more affordable, but they are certainly not a benefit to your health, that type of lifestyle, that type of diet. But I don't know, if we're focusing on just the benchmarks that nobody's in the kitchen making dinner, this is quite a different you and I knew when we were growing up, where even though my mother worked, she had three squares on the stove every day. We ate
She had that energy level. She had her energy level evidently was different. And see, when I say this, I need you to understand that I'm talking about within the context of children, because a woman models a behavior that her daughter in particular will learn how to become a woman by observing her mother. And the same thing happens for males. They need to observe through modeling what a man does. You cannot lecture in the same way I can't go into a physics classroom and lecture my students so that they understand physics. They have to actively watch me. They have to watch me, and they also have to engage in the behavior themselves. So when I say that, I'm not minimizing the role of women to that of being a cook or a maid. I am talking about a series of behaviors that, in addition to all of those other things, being a career woman, I have no problem with that, because we're living in a world, even with those of us that make, far above median incomes, that's still not enough. You're going to have two people in that home working, unless you have very substantial incomes, and I don't think most of us fall into that category. Sister Mahasa, we got some others on the phone here. I appreciate you listening to our show, and you provided some valuable insight. We're going to take a quick station break, and we're going to come back. We're discussing all things political on Talk.
All right.
Unchained.
When we come back, if you would give me an opportunity just to share a response, particularly around this issue of cooking a meal and providing good nutritional foundation for families, just a brief remark.
We will do that. Thank you.
Stop the music.
We know that the community of Muslims are supposed to settle their affairs by Islamic procedures, Islamic means. Say, if you differ in something, refer to Allah and to His Messenger. So, how do we refer to Allah? To the words of Allah in the Quran. How do we refer to His Messenger? To the established knowledge of His life. That's how we refer to the Messenger. We can't go to Him in person now. What else it says? It says, consult with each other. Is that not right? Yes. Consult the knowledgeable person among yourselves. Yes. It is established for Muslims in Al-Islam that leadership is with consent of the people, even though it is established by Allah. For Prophet Muhammad, he invited his people to share in decisions. And even when they made mistakes, he went along with them so they could learn their mistakes. But he wouldn't let that be an excuse to abolish the democratic system of Al-Islam.
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be with you. I'm Mukhtar Muhammad, Executive Director for the Community Wide Shura Conference, or CWSC, a national intelligentsia and the parent corporation for American Muslim 360. I'm inviting you to be my guest on a special series entitled Getting to Know the CWSC, and it'll be in place of our regularly scheduled Friday roundtable. But don't worry, Mark Shahi will be back in the host seat the following Friday. Getting to Know the CWSC will air every 8 weeks. This new program will be a unique opportunity to hear directly from the executive director. It will be an in-depth discussion on the conceptualization and building a national intelligentsia to serve the group intellect. We'll take you inside our architecture, mission, vision, and guiding principles, and our family of intelligentsia components, including America Muslim 360. So stay tuned to hear more about Getting to Know the CWSC. I look forward to talking with you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
We are back on Talk Unchained, discussing all things political. We were discussing the role of the woman in the household. Sister Mahasan, go ahead and very quickly finish your thoughts about the role of the woman in the household. Sister Mahasan, are you with us? Okay, evidently she's not on the line. We'll try to come back to her. Caller from 914, state your name if you like and where are you calling from?
Yes, Professor. This is Muhammad Sharif, calling from Mount Vernon, New York.
How are we doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Yes, sir, I would like to...
You put
a lot on the table in your opening up. I mean, you put a lot of things on the table.
Well, you know that's what I do, right? You know that's what I do.
Oh, yeah, I know that's what you do. That's right. I know that. I know that. Yes. You know, I think the best answer would be is to turn to world history, or not necessarily that order. Don't go to scripture first. We'll go to scripture. And go to history. Far back as you can go, the answers are there. I think everything was put on the table. The answers are in scripture and history. Let's know where we are, where we are going, where we are. That's my thought.
Okay, well, why don't you expand on that? What is the role? Tell me what the role of the man is, at least from your perspective. What is the role of the man?
Well, the role of the man is just what Scripture Allah says. God tells in the Scripture, even Christian Scripture also, is to provide, is to maintain and protect the female. His wife and his family. That's his main role. That role was taken away through the ages of time, but that's his main role is to maintain, protect his family.
And I concur.
Yeah. And what would happen?
I concur wholeheartedly. I concur with that. To provide.
Okay.
And protect. I tell people that's what my essence is, and if I can't do that, I'm not a man.
Okay.
So I agree wholeheartedly with that.
Okay, I'll accept that. All right, we're on the same page there. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome.
Right. Yes, sir. Brother Sharif from Mount Vernon, New York. All right, let's talk about gun violence. I wanted to provide you with a a little information. I've been on Facebook really hammering at this idea of gun control and also the Second Amendment. So I wanted to provide some statistics on that. I want to talk about total death rates, and I want to compare the United States to non-U.S. high-income countries, and this data is, from 2010. I'm looking for the source here. It looks like I didn't write it, but I'm looking at countries like Australia. Listen to this. One total firearm death per 100,000 people, just one. Austria, 3. Belgium, 1.8. Canada, 2.3. The Czech Republic, 1.8. And there are many others here. Germany, 1.1. Hungary, 0.9. This is per 100,000 people. Now, who do you suppose is in the lead? You already know who's in the lead. The United States, 10.2 per 100,000 people, total firearm death rates. So we lead the pack. And then on top of that, while the U.S. houses less than 5% of the world's population, the country has approximately 35 to 50% of civilian-owned guns worldwide, and this is according to the Council on Foreign Relations. Less than 5% of the world's population, but 35 to 50% of civilian-owned guns worldwide. Now, I've been hammering on this Constitution. Of 200 constitutions, I think there are only about 193 or so countries in the world. There are about 200 constitutions here. Now, when I say about 190, so I'm talking about what the UN recognizes, only 3 have Second Amendments, and all of them are in the Western Hemisphere. They are the United States, Mexico, and Guatemala. And as many as 9 have had them, and any discussions of them have had to do with regular citizens acting as regulated militias. Now, if we look at our Second Amendment, we know that to be the case. You have the Bill of Rights. Now, citizens have rights. Government agencies, federal government, state, local governments have powers. And so the Bill of Rights was for us citizens. But we look at the Second Amendment, it sneaks in this idea of state-regulated militias. And all of the discussions, as far as I can tell, concerning this Second Amendment and the right to bear arms was in conjunction with militias. Okay? And the argument, at least in terms of the federal government and the states, would who would have control of the militias. And then, of course, the states won out. So we use the term state-regulated militia. And it seems some way, at least from my vantage point, that this idea of the right to bear arms was detached from this idea of militias. Now, here's the question I'm asking. If those were the conversations, where are the state-regulated militias, and why aren't all you gun owners part of them? Those were the initial discussions. And, of course, the state, through its state defense forces, they're going to change the name, but it's still the idea of militia. Not many states, they have them on paper. Many states have tried it, and what they found out there is that these citizens were highly undisciplined. I'm sort of thinking back to the ideal of the Klan. Here you had a Civil War era general who started the Klan, Forrest. I can't think of his full name, but he supposedly started the Klan, and he found out that they were so undisciplined, he had to detach himself from them. And we see a lot of this going on. We see not only when we consider the Constitution, we consider the federal government. Those were the Federalists, of course. And then you had the state-elected officials. And then, of course, you had the citizens. That's basically what the Constitution refers to, those three entities, more than anything else. And so there's going to be a power grab between those particular entities. The state wants to reserve rights for itself, and we can see some other indications of that in some of the things that we have to deal with, like the Electoral College and this idea of a national vote. Well, if you're an elected official at the state or the federal level, you don't want to give up all of your powers. You want to maintain some of those powers. So this was one of the discussions that was had when we considered the idea of an Electoral College. And, of course, the Electoral College is made up mainly of elected officials, right? The parties get to choose who is part of the Electoral College. So for them, it's an opportunity, should the people act in such a manner or be, should I say, brainwashed by a potential commander-in-chief or president, then, so the story goes, the Electoral College or the elected officials would be able to step in and say, nah, we're not going to do that. But look what happens. We look at the United States and what has happened in this last election. So what the Electoral College, at least in my opinion, this is me speaking, Donald Trump shouldn't have been there. He was the person that they were talking about, that they should have protected us against, but they did not. Okay, it's important for us to understand that. And the president, let me back up and say this ideal of state-regulated militias. We know in the military, all of us that have been in the military, if you are crazy or you have a mental problem, they're going to find out and they're going to kick you out, right? And so when I think about state-regulated militias in the concept, at least from Alexander Hamilton, who said that, well, they can't be like standing armies, but they can meet once or twice a month for drill or something of that nature, so that there would at least be a little bit of cohesion there. And then, of course, the state would be able to appoint officers over the militias. But we didn't see that happening, and the states don't appear to really pay any mind to the Second Amendment, at least as it relates to them, because they don't have militias. And when they did, they were made up of crazy folks. And many times, I saw one scenario where some of these citizen soldiers were saving up money to purchase a tank. Think about that now. So that goes back to what I said earlier, is that many of our citizens, our fellow citizens, aren't right in the mindset, and they're going to want a power grab as well, or may participate in habits that the same person wouldn't necessarily participate in, like purchasing a tank. That's crazy. And the president wants to arm school officials and teachers, but today a Dalton High School teacher fired a shot in a school. And, of course, those of you that follow me know that I think that Trump is an idiot, and this is an indication of it right here. We have people out there that shouldn't have a gun in the first place, and here you have a person teaching our children who's in a school firing a gun. Luckily, there were no children there. No one was injured. And I know we have some black Republicans out there. I'd like to hear from some of you black Republicans. Don't be scared. The one or two of you that are in the audience, what do you think of Trump's brain fart idea of putting armed school officials in the House? In our schools, in our public schools in particular. Let's go back to the phones. Caller from 972. Caller from 972. State your name if you like and where you're calling from.
This is Ishmael Fahmy, Dallas, Texas. Peace and greetings,
yes, sir,
to you.
Greetings to you.
I just wanted to follow up. I guess you were talking about the Second Amendment. you're talking about the Second Amendment and the militias. I think what people are afraid of is that they want to keep their guns to, in case the government, they have to fight the government. I'm thinking that's what they're up in arms of. Most of them come out and say it, but I think that's what they're referring to. And somebody would say, well,
yes, sir,
you are
100% correct, but that's only part of the story. See, I didn't go into a lot of detail about it. See, you got to go behind the scenes and you got to read some of these papers. That was an issue because even when we go back to the American Revolution and we look at the Declaration of Independence, that was in there with it was in no uncertain terms. That is what we sought to do. We sought to protect ourselves from tyrants. That's one of the reasons
right.
that we have the Electoral College, as I intimated earlier. That's one of the reasons, and you are 100% correct, why we have state-regulated militias. So you are 100% correct. Go ahead with your comments.
Yeah, and just talking about the Electoral Colleges, as you know, we're a democratic republic, so, you know, we vote those officials in to make the right choices on our behalf. And like you say, they kind of dropped the ball when they allowed him to even get as far as he did, as far as most of us are concerned, because the overall voting showed it, that the overall voting showed that they didn't want him there. And it was up to them to make the right decision, not even allow him to get in there. So,
yes, sir.
And just speaking when the brother's talking about Jeff Sessions, how he's finally stood up, you know, he's letting Trump know that, you know, Congress and his lawmakers can't conflict with the Constitution. That's why that travel ban keeps getting knocked down, because it conflicts with the constitutionality of in relation to the First Amendment and the Bill of Rights. And I think that's what Jeff Sessions finally telling Trump that, hey, you can't do that. And I think we are heading in the right direction politically. Like here locally, you know, I'm in Texas, so this is a big Republican state, but with these early voters, there's been a lot of Democrats leading the way, and they're kind of afraid. I don't know if that's a good thing or what, that, you know, they're kind of trying to change the landscape, especially in Texas, because it's been Republican for years. So I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. As far as where we're headed as far as being a power in, and this is probably going to be on a whole nother subject you could talk about, as far as being a power financially, I don't think right now we're headed in the right direction, because as you know, Africa has so many resources, so many, and by 2050, over the 9 billion people we have, 50% of them are going to be from Africa, some type of African descent, and they'll be 30 and under. So right now, China is on top of that. Most of those students that go to college, they're going to college in China. And that's more than the Africans are coming here in the U.S. or the U.K. So when it comes time to do business, culturally, they'll be more in tune with China. So, and you know, China's invested like $60 billion in the continent of Africa. So just with, you know, with COBOL that we need for less hard. So I think we're going to change that quick. It's going to be real power. And I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Brother Ishmael from Dallas. It makes a very interesting point, too, and I'm looking at what China doing. China wants to dethrone. Make no mistake about it. China wants to dethrone the United States, and right now is an opportune time for them because Trump is disengaged in the world. He's infatuated with the media. When was the last time we heard from Tillerson? Is he still alive? Is Rex Tillerson still alive? I haven't heard peep or hair from him. And so as far as foreign policy is concerned, I don't even know if we have a foreign policy. I don't even know if we have people that work in that particular area, because there are many people that haven't been appointed to the Secretary of to that department. And so we have some issues there, and the Chinese see red meat, and they're taking advantage of it. When you think about China now, and here's what I think is important, we think about the continent of Africa. It's the second largest continent. We can fit the United States. Now, listen to this now. We can fit the United States, India, China, all of the countries in Europe, all of those countries can fit within Africa. That's how huge this continent is. And I'm underestimating the size of it, because there's many other countries that would be able to fit within this area. One of the things that Chairman Mao did when he was alive is that Africa has many rare earth metals. Now, why is this important? It's important because of their electromagnetic property. So when you are utilizing your cell phone, for example, it has rare earth metals in it, and that's why it is. It can be as small as it is, but work as efficiently as it does, and that's because of the rare earth metals that come out of Africa. So the Chinese, make no mistake about it, they want to have access to the resources are there. And one of the things I'm very hopeful about is what just happened in South Africa, or at least the plans there, is to take back some of the land, to redistribute the land in Africa, because the minority owns, for all intents and purposes, about over 90% of the farmland, for instance. Now, how can you have a people less or at or about 10% of the population control 90% of the land? Now, that doesn't make any sense. You can't have an economic system, you can't have quality of life, when you are crammed into small land masses. So that's very hopeful. I'm looking for Africa to take or reclaim its greatness. I'm going to use some of the terms that you guys use. I'm looking for Africa to reclaim its historical greatness and then to spread that to the diaspora. I used to think that it was going to be us here in the United States. I'm dismissing all of that. I'm looking to our brothers and sisters in Africa to lead the way. That is our homeland. Those are our ancestors. And, of course, that is the if you're familiar with the out of Africa theory, that's where all of us come from. So let me leave you with this. We're at the end of our show. We're discussing all things political. So let me leave you with this one political statement. It has a little bit of science in it, so bear with me. You are familiar with genetics and heredity. And, of course, the child acquires the genome part from the mother, part from the father. So the child can have no more than what the parents had. So if we birthed everyone on the planet, they can have no more than what those who birthed them had. So you remember that. When you hear people out here pushing that we are somehow deficit genetically, and that's what they're really saying, is that we are biologically or we are genetically deficient. Well, you hit them with their own science. You talk to them in a knowledgeable way about heredity and that the parent can have no more than what, excuse me, the child can have no more than what the parent have or the person who birthed them has. I'm your host, Marlon Aldridge. I'd like to welcome you back next week, of course, and each and every Wednesday to Talk Unchained, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Invite your friends. Suggest show topics as well, And I would even like to have some of you as future guests. We have a very intelligent audience here on American Muslim 360. And, of course, we would like you to listen to other shows starting tomorrow morning. As a matter of fact, at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to bring you Critical Issues with Solutions, Money Sense, and A New Day for El Islam. Again, this is Marlon Aldridge, and I welcome you back each and every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Same place, same time, same intellectual stimulation. Spread the word about the show and follow me on Facebook. Until next time, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.